Hello and welcome back to another episode of Little Less Conversation. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Amma. How you doing, mate?
Hey, yeah, good to be back again. I know it's dark and gloomy, but, you know, the football and Arsenal back to winning ways definitely got me buzzing again.
Yeah, well, you say dark and gloomy. I think it's a bit more dark and gloomy for everyone else other than you lot at the moment. But again, it wasn't the worst weekend of football, considering the other results. And yeah, I think you're probably the team in the best sort of form in the league right now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I won't spoil it too much, but what I did say to you was, our win takes us off. What I think it's 6 points off the league leaders, and you know what? After that terrible start that we had, I feel like a little title push could be coming here.
I mean, I don't know what to say to that really, because yeah, sure, you're 6 points off top, but are you really going to sustain this? Are you really going to keep it up? How long before the Arteta out chant start again? And, you know, you're screaming at your TV, you're screaming on this podcast, you're crying, you know, the usual shit. How long until that all returns?
Maybe 2 weeks after this next international break when we play in Liverpool.
Exactly my point. So, you know what? We've had a nice little run of, what, 3-4 weeks where you've been happy. You know, you've been over the moon with the results. You've been positively talking. You haven't been slating anyone. So something's definitely going wrong with this podcast. We definitely need you to come back to your miserable old self. We need Arsenal to lose again, just so normality is restored.
Let's not get into that. I mean, keep me on the high. But, you know, in a couple of weeks' time when we do probably lose to Liverpool, then we'll see how it goes then. But, I mean, obviously, it feels weird not to start without talking about the Manchester derby that kicked off Saturday lunchtime.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it went how most people thought it would, and that's with a Man City win, a convincing win. United never really got going, and City dominated. And you felt, I don't know, it's as if Pep turned around and said to his players, don't beat them too badly. We want Ollie to stay on the job. Don't score too many goals. That's how it came across.
I feel like they definitely took their foot off the gas after like going 2-0 up. And I was thinking, this could be a battering. But yeah, I think you're right. I think they were dominant. They beat them, but they didn't humiliate them, which is like odd to see.
It's clever because he looked at the Liverpool game when Liverpool humiliated them. And all of a sudden, Ollie was like close to getting sacked. There were questions about his future. There were board meetings. So I think he thought, you know what? We beat him 2-0, beat him convincingly. They're not going to cause us any problems. Keep Ollie at the wheel and everyone's happy.
Everyone except the Manchester fans listen to this pod.
So, yeah, no one.
Yeah, I know. I mean, again, you know, City are doing well. I can't complain. United losing. It couldn't have got any better for a Saturday lunchtime game. And you know what made it even better? Was when I checked the score. I didn't actually watch the Chelsea game, but I did see you guys 1-0 up. And then full-time 1-1, I'm thinking, oh, wow, Burnley have nicked the draw here.
Yeah, so I watched about 70 minutes of that game and decided to turn it off around 70 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I had other stuff to do, I'm not going to lie to you. but I was watching it and I was watching on my phone, my battery was about to die. So I was like, I'll just charge it. 15 minutes to go, I'll leave it, you know, we're going to score another goal, definitely. And then I checked my phone 10 minutes later, 80th minute, Vidra scores. And I was like, oh, God. It was just one of those games. Even when I was watching it, like, you know, when things just aren't happening, like you're creating all the chances and the ball's just not going into the net. You're hitting them over the bar. You're hitting them wide. You're not getting that little bit of luck, and it just had draw all over it. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think you're probably missing the effect of having Lukaku in the team, or I hate to say it, probably not even Werner, but Werner.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you're missing an out-and-out striker, because I think, were you playing Havertz as like a false nine kind of?
Yeah, Havertz is playing pretty much up top now. So he scored a really good header. But, you know, I feel like we're playing really good football as well. And if you had that striker in the team, Lukaku or Werner, they would get the goals. And I think there's talk of us looking to bring in a third striker in Jan, like probably another backup. Don't know who like they're going to go for.
Maybe go back for Giroud, get him back from Milan.
I doubt they'll do that, but I don't know who they're looking at or what they're looking at doing, but that's the talk that Tuchel wants another striker in. And
are the injuries for Lukaku weren't a long term, or they're just small ones?
I think they're quite minor ones. So I think they'll be back soon, probably after the international break now. So they've got that 2 weeks off or whatever it is.
That's
the worry, is when no one expected them to both be out at the same time. And Werner was just hitting some form. I know Lukaku wasn't doing great all of a sudden, but you know, when you're top of the world, like, you know, Lukaku is at the moment, you might go through those little patches, but then you bounce back and he's done it before. So yeah, it's bad timing with injuries for those two. But unfortunately, it is what it is. We have to deal with it, and we're doing all right without a striker. But yeah, eventually it's going to catch up with us. We do need goals, you know, from our front men. And I don't think Havertz is an out-and-out goal scorer like Lukaku would be. But we'll see what happens. It's just a case of waiting for them to come back and getting them fully fit again, really.
I think like the 2 weeks break and the international break serves you well. And you know, I mean, I think all the other results on the weekend served you well too, because I think you're still top of the league. I mean, oddly enough, Man City and I think West Ham are like maybe just behind you, in 3 points behind you or something like that. But it's too early to call it, right?
Do you know what? It was a weird one, really, because like we dropped points on Saturday, and I'm thinking, oh damn, you know, Man City have won today. They're 3 points behind us. Liverpool are going to win, and you know they'll be like 1 point behind us with a win. And strangely enough, we've actually gained a point on Liverpool this weekend. So yeah, things work in mysterious ways, I guess.
They do. And I tell you what doesn't work in mysterious ways is Arsenal winning and Ramsdale keeping clean sheets, and it's ticking along, mate. It's Sunday lunchtime. Well, Sunday 2 o'clock, which is lunchtime for me, really. Arsenal Watford, which is a local derby in itself, really, because we're both stationed up in Colney, but training ground in Colney. But yeah, I think impressed with impressed. It was a 1-0 win, famous 1-0 to the Arsenal. But it's got us back into a really good position in terms of the league position. A couple of the wins have been, you know, like this, bit 1-0s or, you know, a couple of just grinding out, you know, some tight calls. But we were sort of dominant in the game, and Watford looked like a team, you know, who still haven't found their feet in the Premier League.
Yeah, so is this what it's come to, you talking about rivalries with Watford? Is this what the might of Arsenal will be reduced to, yeah? Very good.
Well, we're doing well. We're up into, I think it's fourth, so we're not mid-table at the moment, or maybe it's fifth, but you know what? We're climbing, and I think I've got a good feeling. I think the next three, four games, I've got some tricky ones, but if we do if we do well to get at least 6 points or so, or, you know, maybe even 7 points out of the 12 that's available, because I think a couple of them are really tough ones, but I think that'll keep us ticking along to where we should, you know, rightly, you know, slowly start getting back to. I know it's been I'm optimistic again. I'm optimistic, and I'm not off that display, because it was, you know, it was only a 1-0 win, but I think we're generally to start to see a bit of a form, which we haven't seen from Arsenal. Arsenal has been really inconsistent over the last year and a half. So I think we're building up some good form.
Yeah, I think the big fixture is obviously after the break is Anfield away, isn't it? Away to Liverpool. And that's going to be a tough game, man. I think they're going to want to bounce back and get a win, and you could potentially be on the end of a drumming there if you're not careful.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the Anfield game will be different. And, you know, it's a really difficult one, because you never want to go into it being pessimistic. But, you know, they're a different team, completely a different animal. And Salah, you know, just Salah alone is a handful. And that's without all the other players. But hopefully they get a few more injuries, because their squad's looking a bit depleted at the moment. And hopefully, you know, we can kick on a bit. I like what I saw from some of the players on against Watford, and I know it was against Watford, but you know, players like Smith Rowe, Saka, again, you know, Ben White and Gabriel have been quite solid. Ramsdale's been solid, so I feel like it's clicking slowly, and maybe not as quickly as we all wanted, but it does feel like we've kept that consistency.
There's definitely improvements, and some of the summer signings are standing up and actually putting in good performances. I think Smith Rowe has been really good, and he's got his England call up today, which he deserves. You know, he's been probably your best player, I'd say, over the last couple of months. And yeah, no, fair play. You're doing well. I must say, though, one thing. How do you feel about sort of cheating your way to a goal on Sunday?
Nah, you know what? This has been a hot topic, but I'll go back to it. Well, I don't. If you see the actual foul, and you know,
I mean, I watched it all in real time. I saw the unsportsmanlike behaviour where you didn't pass the ball back to them, and then moments later, I saw one of their players get wiped out off the ball. Smith Rowe scores.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. But, you know, there's been calls like that against every other team. I think they called it out because, well, you know, we should have potentially given it back. But you know what? That guy was faking an injury. Did you see the way he got back up? So I don't think, you know, it's a bit of a 2-2. It's like, well, you should really give it back. You've kicked it out because, you know, you think he's injured. But he's got straight back up. It's not like he's running around the floor on a serious injury. And, you know, the other part of it is, we've had that, you know, again, done to us when other teams have just like carried on playing, or, you know, players been down, carried on playing. So I don't think you should, like, you know, people look too much into it. People like Redknapp, and, you know, they like to make a big deal of it. Ranieri after his, you know, post-match conference, because he's a bit of a sore loser. But in general, you know, if we're talking about bad refereeing, because it really is the refereeing decisions. Kevin Friend was an awful referee on the day. He was letting, you know, he was letting go challenges that were going about. He wasn't booking players, and Arsenal players were getting booked for the same fouls. It was I don't know. I mean,
you're very good at deflecting, isn't it? You're very good at changing the subject. We'll get on to Kevin Friend in a minute. back to this unsportsmanlike behavior. When has it happened to you guys like that? I can't remember.
Oh, mate, the same thing happened when we played Spurs, and I mean, we won that game, so it's not that big of a deal, but. You know, I think it was Xhaka rolling around the floor from a tackle that Spurs player played, and Son's carried on playing, and they've actually scored from the goal. And you know, and nothing's happened of it. You know, is that
an instance where he's been tackled, lost the ball, and they've carried on playing and haven't put the ball up? Is that what?
No, he's been generally tackled. Like, it's a foul.
No, but was it given as a foul?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No, no.
Okay, so they've won the ball off your player and carried on playing because it wasn't a head injury. The referee didn't stop the game. In this instance, Rose has put the ball out because he thinks his player's injured.
The players got back up.
Yeah, but instead of giving the ball back to them, because he hasn't needed any attention, he's got up, he's carried on. Yeah. You've just played on and gone and scored from that. You can see why Ranieri's pissed off.
Dilly din, dilly dong, come on.
In fairness, if the goal would come literally from that throw in, it didn't though. It came from.
But it pretty much did.
There's been a passage of play around it.
Go and watch it back. It's within what, 20 seconds of that happening.
Yeah, but that's not directly from the throw though.
It pretty much is.
They've taken the throw. They've like players have got back into position. The ball's gone in. It's a hopeless ball in. The ball's come back out, and they've had it. You know, Ben White's gone through. There's so much that's happened in the meantime of that.
There isn't so much.
There is definitely there is so much so play much. That's happened. Yes, there is.
There is not so
definitely
much.
There is.
You whip the ball in. The ball's come out from that cross, that shitty cross. Then that guy's been fouled off the ball by Maitland-Niles. I think
that's a refereeing decision.
Yeah, it's poor. It's unfair on them, really. I mean, it's all come from that unsportsmanlike behaviour. And the funniest thing is, I saw someone, I can't remember who it was, someone was saying, do you know what? We've always been calling for that Arsenal sort of that aggressive and, you know, don't give two fucks sort of behaviour. That's just bullshit, man. No, yeah, be aggressive. Thing,
I like
be
it.
Aggressive.
I like
be
it.
That's good. Yeah, fine. Do that. But cheating, nah, mate.
I don't think it's cheating. I definitely don't think it's cheating.
It's not cheating, but it's very unsportsmanlike. I take that back. It's not cheating, but it's unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, but it's a fine line. I don't know. I mean, I think if it was back to us, like if that happened to us, then you know, we'd be calling out saying it's unsportsmanship. But you know what? We got a goal from it, we got the win. And also Kevin Friend, I'm glad he didn't give that decision because he was an absolutely shocking referee, by the way. You got a friend in me. Anyway.
Yeah, well, his all-round performance was shit, really, wasn't it? Rose should have been sent off.
Rose, clothesline from hell. he had about 8 fouls after that as well. He still, you know, the maddest thing is he didn't get a booking the whole game.
That's how brilliant. I do not know how. I mean, he put in some bad tackles, man, and he's so bad. I don't know how he never used to be that bad, but I don't know, maybe it's his age or what. I don't know. He's awful, man. I feel sorry for Ranieri. He's got a problem there at left back.
It's the Spurs rejects, man. Sissoko and Rose, both of them are bad. Bad as each other.
I mean, it was telling because that guy Kuka got sent off as well. And as soon as he got his first yellow, that was it. It was just a matter of time.
He was tackling all over the place as well, but yeah.
Anyway, man, enough about Arsenal. Yeah.
Before, I mean, you know what? We're talking about bad tackles. I think it's a good time to maybe we loop into the West Ham Liverpool game because there was a really bad tackle there, but there's also goalkeeping blunders and Liverpool shitting themselves. They're brilliant. Brilliant game to watch, to be fair, as a neutral. I say neutral. I don't really like West Ham winning. I don't really like Liverpool winning. But kind of surprised by the result in the end.
Yes, I mean, it's always good to see Liverpool lose, to be honest with you, regardless of who they're playing. But yeah, I know what you mean. West Ham are having a blinder of a season and they're right up there. There's almost a hint of Leicester from a few seasons ago about them when Leicester won the title. There's that team spirit and resilience, man, that they can beat anyone on their day. I mean, at home, they're really good as well. So I think we're definitely a team to watch. They're going to cause a few problems. I know we've got them in a few games' time, I think, away as well. So that should be interesting. But yeah, props to them for getting the win, big win. And Chelsea, old boy, Kurt Zouma was on the score sheet.
Yeah, no thanks to Alisson gifting West Ham all the goals, really.
Oh, God, that first goal. What was he thinking?
I don't know why VAR reviewed it for so long, because that is a goalkeeping blunder. Like, he's just literally missed the ball.
Yeah, massive, massive blunder there. And you wouldn't expect it from someone of his calibre and his stature, you know? It's just, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's very Mignolet-esque, if that makes sense.
Mignolet. Who's the other one? Carrius.
Carrius.
They've had a few over the years.
Adrian.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the thing, man. He's cost them he's cost them a game there, really, hasn't he?
He should have done better for the second goal as well.
The finish wasn't all that from Fornals. And
it was like a scuff shot.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad. I mean, it just shows you that although going forward, they're amazing, they're not quite the same defensively. I mean, Van Dijk has come back and he's, you know, brought that bit of security, but they're still not all that defensively, so you never know. You might have a chance when you go to Anfield.
Maybe. If they pick up a couple more injuries over the international break, fingers crossed. But, I mean, you know, there's things you can do, but, you know, there's things you can't stop. And did you see Trent's free kick? That's absolute peach. Peach.
Oh, what a goal. What a goal, man. Yeah, it's superb free kick. You know, we all know he's got that in his locker. And, yeah, I'm glad he's doing well, you know. Felt a bit sorry for him, you know, missing out the Euros with injury and stuff like that. He's definitely, you know, up there as one of the best right-backs. In that sense, it's good to see him succeed, but at the same time, he plays for Liverpool, so you don't want him to succeed. But, it's a great goal.
It was a good goal. And our good old free FIFA 21... substitute off the bench, Origi. He got a cracker as well.
Oh, Diva, what a goal. Oh, if he was doing that week in, week out, he'd be first team. But it's just once in a blue moon he pulls those goals out, man. What a finish. What a turn and finish.
It's really weird, yeah. Like, I wonder if anyone ever put in, like, a compilation of Origi goals, they'd be screamers. I've seen all the ones that he scores are, like, either important goals or, like, really good finishes or great headers or something.
Yeah.
And in fairness, and I know West Ham, you know, your old boy Zouma got the winner, but Mane should have easily made it 3-3. The header that he had, that was literally the chance. Yeah.
He's not quite with it this season, is he, Mane? First of all, in the shadow of Salah, and secondly, just not hitting the form that he was a few seasons ago when they won a title. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's time for a change for him. Maybe he needs to move on. I don't know, but yeah.
Not bad. I mean, like I say, you know, Moyes, West Ham, you know, they're kicking on, and 23 points, third in the table, joint with Man City. It's if you're saying this is a Leicester, it could be a Leicester freak season. God, I've got, you know, I've got a West Ham, I've got a mate who's a West Ham fan, and I cannot deal with him if they won the league.
I mean, yeah, you never know. I've seen stranger things happen, but they're playing well. The confidence is high. Moyes has got them, you know, playing in a certain way and doing certain things. It's working, you know, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if they'll be able to sustain it, but they'll be up there challenging for European football undoubtedly at the end of the season. You know, they're doing well in the Europa League as well. So, yeah, positive times for West Ham. And, yeah, not so positive times for Man United.
Very good.
If Ollie walked in here now, if Ollie walked in here now, I'd grab him by the... And I go, why are you playing Fred? For all managers have to make their own decisions. They're walking to players day in, day out. I would look at him and go, why are you playing Fred in the middle of the park?
Well, that wraps up another episode of Little Less Conversation. Thanks again for listening.
And I know we've got a, you know, well, 2-week break, you know, international bore away, but England, Albania on Friday. Can't complain. We're going to get, should get a couple of goals there. Maybe Smith Rowe debut.
Hopefully this is the last international break for a while now.
Yeah, fingers crossed, because it feels like it's just come about again. And it feels like the last one was only like a couple of weeks ago, which I think it was. So, yeah, hopefully they're all out the way now and we can like get back to just watching back-to-back Premier League wins with the Arsenal.
Yeah, that's not going to happen either, mate.